This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com at TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. We will help you get your Disney fix on. Show number 218 to kick off 2018. And there's no better way to kick off a new year than to look back at some of the things that happened in the previous year. So today, we're going to take a stab at reviewing some of the big announcements and big events from 2017 at Disney Parks and Resorts. With me today from the Maz Disney blog, Ed, what is happening?
Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It is going absolutely great. And I'm going to correct myself for a second because I said Ed from the Maz Disney blog and Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. But, buddy, we are all from the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com and the blog at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com.
There we go.
And speaking of which, there are some other bloggers with us tonight, bloggers and members of the live show. Lisa, what's happening?
How you doing tonight, Sam?
Doing great, thank you. And of course, if Lisa's here, Jimmy's here. Jimmy, what's up?
It does seem like we come as a pair. I don't know whether that's weird, but it's true.
It works out that way. And you guys are both bloggers also over at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. And guys, I have a feeling 2018 is going to be a huge year for the blog and the podcast and the live show and everything else that we have happening here at the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Yep.
I agree.
So with that, I guess really we need to jump in here into what happened in 2017. The way that we'll do it is we're going to attempt to go in chronological order, but there was so much that happened that's intertwined and intermingled that we may be jumping all over the map. But I figured I'd start with January of 2017 and something I found that happened early that I sort of forgot about, and maybe I forgot about it on purpose. The Magic Kingdom. In early 2017, we learned that on a daily basis, a Royal Herald would be proclaiming and welcoming guests to the Magic Kingdom at the brand new Castle Forecourt stage, part of the new morning show at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, that's for those people that make it to Rope Drop. Have you guys seen the new show?
No, I have.
I have not.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan as compared to the old opening show. I think that's probably where I should state my ground. I really loved that show in front of the train station.
I did too.
Well, the show. Yeah, I was going to say the show up front just seemed so more personable because you were right there and very close, and there was only so many people between the ticket takers and the actual entrance to the park. But I tell you what, the show that they have over by the castle isn't bad, in that you've already made the trip down Main Street and you're just kind of hanging out waiting for those ropes to drop.
I'm actually surprised that it's not back at the train station, because I think for a while we thought that they moved it because they were doing that major refurb to the train station itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the other parks pulled them inside though too. Magic Kingdom's been the biggest holdout. because Epcot, they bring you into past Spaceship Earth, almost to where the fountain is. Animal Kingdom, you're basically all the way into the Tree of Life up onto the bridge there. They'll usually hold you there until it opens. Yeah. And even Hollywood Studios, to a certain extent,
right,
they bring you into the end of Main Street there.
Yep.
I think the only two parks that I've ever rope dropped have been Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom. So I'm not 100% other than through the eyes of Ed, what it's like to rope drop those other two parks.
I've done Hollywood Studios. Animal Kingdom used to do almost two, like, morning shows. They would have, right when you walk through the gates, kind of on that trail, they would have the big bus with Mickey and all on it. And then they would pull off, and they would let you leave that spot, and then you'd go so far in, like Ed said, almost to the Tree of Life, and there would be another stopping point with another little part of the show right there, and then they would open up the rest of the park.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's too much really to kind of say about this move. It just seems to be it's consistent. Yeah, we're losing the mayor, and it's not that quaint a show as it was.
The mayor or the fire chief or whoever it used to be. And, you know, right. I loved the morning show at Magic Kingdom. It was out front and good morning. And it was an absolutely wonderful experience. But this has really changed the way that you open Magic Kingdom. Because now when you get into the park, there are some breakfast options up and down Main Street, some things that weren't there previously. And I think it's changed the experience. I also think that, and I think, Ed, you pointed this out in an earlier show, it's changed the line for things like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So now the queue actually starts well before rope drop happens or this show happens, because people are lined up in the place that comes down past the Merida meet and greet. And as soon as it opens, there's a line that's a half an hour long for things like the mine train. But go to the other side of the park, right? Those are wide open.
Right.
That's exactly how to do it. Another interesting thing in January that I know Jimmy and Lisa participated in, January was the first ever Epcot Festival of the Arts.
That is correct.
Oh, what an amazing experience that was. And when they initially rolled it out last year, it was just the weekends. It was just Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday if it was a holiday weekend, which was the weekend that Jimmy and I happened to be down there. So, but to bring in not only when you think of art, you think of paintings, you think of that type of art. And there was plenty of that with kiosks and all that they had to offer, but they also made art out of food. They brought in Broadway performers, so there was performance art. There was just so much to offer, and I thought that it was something that was going to last, and I was right. Not only is it going to last, but they've extended it to, it's now a full festival. It's not just on the weekends this year.
So one of the things I really enjoyed about it was those interactive portraits. So they're like, there were these big pictures, and it was just familiar pictures, but you could kind of climb in between the foreground and the background and be part of the picture, and there were photo pass photographers there for that. Those were really cool.
I think probably one of my favorite ones, and I know that they had the portraits. We've got pictures of Kim and Angela in the portraits, but there was the remake of Washington Crossing the Delaware.
Yeah.
And I believe I was just going through pictures the other day, and there's a picture of me trying to dive out of the boat, which was very, you could do whatever you wanted with it. One of the best I had seen was somebody had posted last year, they were holding up their kid like they were Simba from The Lion King at the front of the boat, which I thought was great. But yes, and I'm eager to see if there are different portraits this year.
I will be there the opening weekend once again. It's a holiday weekend, so I will let you will see the pictures. And interesting, they extended it to a whole week this year, but the Broadway performers are only there for the weekends.
And that follows suit with things like Flower and Garden Festival, where the Garden Rocks is only on the weekends.
Yeah.
So, you know what, guys? This is another great reason to get to Epcot. And our festivals now are all the time except for the summer months. There's something going on at Epcot interesting to see or do or taste or, you know, that kind of good stuff.
One of the other really cool things about this one is that if you have a favorite Disney artist, they have like a booth set up for them and their art, and they're scheduled to be there at certain times. Like, we interviewed Kevin John not too long ago. He's got, now he won't be there when I'm there, he's going to be there right after, but he's got some time scheduled there where he's going to be there in a booth with his art, and if you want to purchase a piece of art, he's there to sign it for you and talk to you, and so stuff like that's really, really cool.
Jimmy, where did they do that? Is that in the Festival Center, or was it somewhere else, or where'd they have these booths?
All the way around, almost like tents set up around, like all the way around World Showcase.
Sure, cool. Very nice. Festival of Arts. More on the 2018 Festival of Arts when Jimmy returns from his trip. Moving on. Also in January, after a, I want to say brief delay, but it was more than a brief delay, we finally got to see Rivers of Light at Animal Kingdom.
I was able to experience that this year only once. I thought it was great. I was expecting probably a little bit more given the amount of delays that they had, but still a really good show. I didn't realize exactly how many seats there were. That stadium, that seating area all around that body of water, it swallows up a lot of people.
I saw it this, I feel like I'm kind of, I think it's worth doing one time, but it is still my least favorite nighttime show in Walt Disney World. It's not as good as Happily Ever After. It wasn't as good as Wishes. It's not as good as Illuminations. It's not as good as Fantasmic. It's okay. I think they could have done. I agree with Lisa. I think they could have done so much more. Like, where's Simba?
I'm with you there, Jimmy. Where are the Disney characters in general?
Where's the tie-in to Disney? And they don't. It's not there. So
yeah,
that was kind of disappointing.
I think that's what my kids missed. I mean, when you think about the properties that Disney owns, and the Jungle Book, and Bambi, and the Lion King, and you can go down the list of animals that would fit into that nicely. It just didn't happen. But you know, Rivers of Light is there. They tweak things considerably. It's up and running, and much more about Animal Kingdom coming up later in the year, that's for sure.
I will say it's better than the previous Animal Kingdom nighttime show.
The Jungle Book show?
No, the one that I'm talking about, they just didn't have one, really.
Yeah, yeah. They had that slight Jungle Book thing when Rivers of Light.
No, yeah, and that was just a prep for Rivers of Light.
It's a reason to stay there later.
Yeah.
I watched the show. I was in Animal Kingdom leaving the park when it was dark. And the family commented to me, I don't think we ever left Animal Kingdom at dark before.
Yeah, I think
because we were out of there much sooner.
I think it's a good addition for that reason, that they extended the hours and they're doing the twilight safaris and that type of stuff. I like the idea that they have it so they can extend the hours and make it more of an all-day park.
Absolutely.
And Lisa's right, it does swallow up a lot of people.
Yeah, especially when you have people waiting for Pandora, but we'll get to that in just a second. A couple of new restaurants opened in January. Pizza Rizzo over at Hollywood Studios opened, finally, replacing the Pizza Planet restaurant. I have been here a couple of times. It's a good addition.
It is, other than the hours. I haven't had a chance to get there yet. I think it pretty much still closes at 4:30 now.
Yeah,
That'll change come 2019, and when we talk about what's coming in 2 years. But yeah, I'm with you.
It may even change just within the year. Once Toy Story Land opens, and there's just more stuff to do back in that area,
and there's more people back in that area.
Right, absolutely.
And that's the catch. I really think what they're looking to do is close things down far in that back corner, so it's easier for them to clear out the park.
That's true too, but then why open? Well, and we'll talk about this down the road. But why open up the new restaurant and area right in front of it? Almost that's open up till way past the park closes. The old writer stop.
The old writer stop, and we will come back to that for sure. Another restaurant in January, the Paddlefish, a new restaurant with a rooftop bar and fish boil, opened to the public. And that replaced the location formerly known as Fulton's Crab House. Has anybody been able to check out the Paddlefish?
It's on my list.
Yep, not yet.
I was able to hit the paddlefish, and quite honestly, you could almost swap the menus between the paddlefish and the boathouse, and it's kind of the same stuff.
Oh, really?
Which is interesting to me. There are some differences, of course.
Does the paddlefish do it as well as the boathouse?
There were some things very good that I had at the paddlefish that were boathouse quality. I liked them both.
Okay.
But they're both your traditional, you know, seafood and steaks, and it was a good experience.
Well,
that's a Levy restaurant, in case anybody needs to know.
I know you're a fan of the boathouse, so I'm assuming. I am. So if you're giving it close to the boathouse, I'm assuming it's pretty good.
I'm giving it close to the boathouse, but I think I'd go back to the boathouse if I was down there again.
But if you've never been to paddlefish, definitely worth a shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, you will not be disappointed.
Cool.
All right. Let's move on to February. In February, we learned that there were some new guest experiences coming to Coronado Springs and Disney Beach Club Resorts with new 15-story towers, new dining options. Really, this was the beginning of some major construction happening in the resorts down there. And I know that some on the call here spent some time at Caribbean Beach during this past year.
Yes, all three of us.
And I did Coronado in February. So
you've been to both.
So you got to both. Well, February, was anything happening at Coronado yet in February?
Yes, the fencing was up. They had already started the construction or bulldozing all that stuff to the ground. So, yeah, there was definitely construction going on, and it had already impacted the front entrance even in February.
Yeah, that's all. These two resorts and the major construction that's happening at both of them, you know, it's clear that there's a major push to get things ready for 2021 and the 50th anniversary. And these both fit right into that.
Yeah, I agree.
Not much more, I think, that we can add to that.
The only thing I would add is I can tell you that when we stayed at Caribbean is, you know, once we were back at the room, driving around the resort, you definitely saw the construction, but they did a really good job once of keeping it quiet at night and kind of compensating for it, because even the little pop-up restaurant and the food truck they had there were both fantastic. So it really was not that big of a deal. It wasn't a trip. It didn't ruin the trip, the construction.
Nice. That's good to know. Good to know that they take care of people still there, because as we're planning for the anniversary, we still want a vacation now too, right?
Right. Sure.
Right.
Absolutely. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yep.
Right.
In March, we saw some construction start over at the Magic Kingdom parking lot. And there's actually quite a bit happening at Magic Kingdom traffic-wise. We all know that they closed the Richard Petty driving experience that opened up a whole lot of land, and they're working on some overpasses, some flybys. If you're staying at a Magic Kingdom resort, you'll no longer need to go through the ticket counters for parking. You're going to go over those, and there's a lot of construction happening right around there. And I think it's good for traffic flow, because I think we all know that getting into and out of the Magic Kingdom, there are quite a few bottlenecks, and it looks like they're relieving those bottlenecks one at a time, which is good.
Now, they're moving that whole entire gateway back, is what I heard when I was down there in February.
Yeah, when you look at it, the positioning of things definitely changes considerably.
So you'll be able to take that right towards Fort Wilderness?
Well, there won't be a right towards Fort Wilderness. It'll be a flyover that's going to take you towards any of those locations that are not the Magic Kingdom. So if you're not going to Magic Kingdom, there's going to be an exit ramp for you sooner so that you can then pawn off to go to Fort Wilderness or Contemporary or Pali or wherever you're headed. So basically today, if you're familiar with driving into Magic Kingdom, if you come in on the left and you're trying to get to a Magic Kingdom resort, you have to cross all that traffic and get over to the right-hand side. And do it quickly. Yes, that won't be the case anymore. If you are going to any of the resorts, you're going to get on a flyover that takes you up over a ramp, over those ticket counters, I'll call them, although I know that's not what they are. Toll booths, I guess, because there is a toll to park. It's a big toll, too. And it brings you down on the other side, which will be kind of cool. Helps traffic. End of the day. That's what matters.
Yes, for certain.
Also in March was announced the new Misadventure Falls, which is a new family water slide over at Typhoon Lagoon. And I'll be the first to admit it's been a long time since I've been to Typhoon Lagoon, so I did not participate in Misadventure Fall.
2 years since I've been to a water park. It's been a long time.
Oh, it's been
longer than that for me.
I was about to say it's been at least 5 or 6 for me.
My kids love going to the water parks. We just didn't go this past year.
I've only been once. It's been quite...
There's just so much to do down there. It's hard
it's tough,
to...
It's tough. The time is... Water... Yep. Yep. Time is just so valuable.
Absolutely. Moving into May over at the Magic Kingdom, we saw the last performance of the Nighttime Spectacular Wishes.
Boo. Boo. Yes. Yes.
You know, Wishes was awesome, and it was there for such a long time. Jimmy, you started with the boos and hisses. What are your thoughts?
I don't dislike Happily Ever After, but I was sure... I don't think it's as good of a show as Wishes, and for the my number one reason is it requires a certain perspective where Wishes did not require. Like, you could enjoy Wishes from Liberty Square. You could enjoy Wishes from Fantasyland. You could enjoy Wishes from just about anywhere in the park. You could really enjoy Wishes. And the new show is just not the same.
Oh, I'm not even certain I should chime in on this. So the night that Wishes ended, Ed, you and I talked. We watched it, and then I think we ended up jumping onto Skype together, and I needed to compose myself before getting on. I freely admit it. I needed to absolutely compose myself. Wishes was it's been such an important part of everything that we do. It was the Wishes exit music was the last song I danced to at my wedding. There's the music to Wishes is still something I listen to on a regular basis. I don't dislike Happily Ever After. As a matter of fact, I think Happily Ever After was an amazing, because of the projections, replacement to, was it Celebrate the Magic? Was that the show before Wishes? It was always a show 15
minutes
before.
Yeah, the projection show, which they still have, but I think that was it, because now that's Happily Ever After. They still do it after...
Yeah, there's still a show there that comes on either before or after. I can't remember
the name.
Why
can't I think of what it's called?
Yeah, and I don't know what it's called either.
The original show was The Magic, The Memories, and You.
Yes, but then it went to Celebrate the Magic.
Celebrate the Magic, yeah.
Yep, because I can hear that music in my head. So I think that it's a great combination, is what I believe it is. I think it's a great combination of a fireworks show and a projection show. But I just don't know where to look because you can't see it all.
You know
you could be standing in the most perfect spot and you can't see it all.
I agree. And
I'm with you.
I think
I
it
love
just
Wishes.
Crowds everybody on Main Street because you have to. That's the only place to see this new one.
Right. I also think kind of, which is a weird thing to complain about, but I love fireworks and I love the projection show. It's just tough to have them both at the same time.
Because to Lisa's point, you don't know where to look.
Right. I'm missing stuff on the castle, and I'm missing stuff in the sky. And it really bugs me because I can only get there maybe one night or two nights of a trip or something like that. And you really want to be able to kind of catch the whole feel of it. And I just haven't gotten that yet. I mean, I'm still having issues with Spectro Magic being gone, let alone Wishes, too. So.
I'm going to hold on to my gripe about Wishes going for probably a long time. Much like yours with Spectro Magic, it just has that special place for me. So it's going to be a while before I really embrace the new as much as I loved the old.
Oh, sure. And it really kind of, the point was driven home in July when I was in Disneyland. Because there, nighttime show has a couple lines where the music comes from Wishes, or Wishes came from that. So it kind of really drove it to home how much I missed it.
Yeah, Wishes, from a technology point of view, I think there's no doubt that the new show is absolutely amazing.
Oh, no doubt.
It is. But to your point, where am I looking? Am I looking at fireworks? Am I looking for the castle? That gives it some type of a rewatchability, but I never thought there was an issue with rewatchability of Wishes. I'd watch it every time regardless, right? It was what it was. There wasn't an issue there. The technology's superior. You have to admit that. To me, it's more of a celebration of Disney animation classics, not so much a recap of the Disney parks and what happened in Disney that day for you. But regardless, it is what it is. Happily Ever After is the new nightly fireworks show. Unless you were there for one of the parties, it was still Hallow Wishes and Holiday Wishes, but that's a whole nother story. But Happily Ever After, and that nighttime projection show is Once Upon a Time. You should have known that one, right?
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time. That's the new, which is good as well. I think that's a really good one. We also learned that there were some new dining options coming to Disney Springs, and I think that was a big thing all year long. New dining at Disney Springs, new everything at Disney Springs. It felt like every time we turned around, I don't know if you guys got this impression, but to me it was like, oh, hey, here's something else opening. The Polite Pig's opening.
They're Battle still Page, opening.
Planet Hollywood. It's still opening today. Right? When's this thing going to be over?
I don't think it's going to be, because I tell you what, they've got so many locations in there now, stores, restaurants, that I got to think they're going to be rotating out a lot more quickly than they have in the past. Yeah. So you'll have everybody flooding in as far as the new stores. But then as you start finishing up, filling all those spots, I guarantee a couple guys are going to be leaving.
I absolutely love it down there. I think it's great what they've done with that place.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's become a destination. And I think that's awesome. That is, it's not just shopping. It's entertainment and dining and people watching, and the performers that are down there are just, they've done an amazing job with that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And the biggest problem with Disney Springs up until this big rehab was security and where do you park? And they took care of both issues.
They did. Even made it easier to get in and out of that traffic nightmare that we dealt with for so long. I'm not going to say the nightmare's over, but it's
not nearly as bad
moved.
As it was. Yeah,
it's moved down the road towards Magic Kingdom, all the construction, but it's not so bad these days.
The parking lots are great. The new bus terminal there is great, and I agree with Ed. I saw like a huge presence from Orange County police officers. I mean, you see a couple of those guys walking around all over the place.
Yep, and it's not bad for the presence.
That's absolutely right. They're just there. They're not impeding anybody's good time. They're just walking, walking around, just making sure everybody's okay.
All right, May is traditionally the Disney summertime launch, and we saw that again in 2017, as we will soon in 2018. For 2017, the big summer launch was really all about Animal Kingdom, if you step back and look at it. Not only did the Rivers of Light get its new nighttime experience, we also saw the Tree of Life awaken at the end of every night. As you mentioned earlier, Jimmy, Kilimanjaro Safaris and the Evening Safaris. Not too bad from that point of view, just some interesting little things at Animal Kingdom. Nighttime safari. I think we've talked about this. I've never had a chance to do that.
I still haven't had a chance to do it. And I love the idea of it. I just hadn't had a chance to get over there and do it in the evening.
Probably gone about 8 times so far at night.
Okay.
And it's a really cool change up of the safari. And it's just as the safari is in the daytime. Sometimes you see some great stuff. Sometimes you don't.
So you see different animals?
Or is it just they try to portray it as that because you have the jackals or the wild dogs are out usually at night, supposedly. But for the most part, we were seeing some of the same animals we were seeing during the daytime. I tell you what, the lions were very much more active at night. Got a lot of roars, vocalizations, moving around, not sleeping type of stuff. So that was kind of cool.
What about the hyenas? Didn't they add them right around?
Well, that's what I meant by the wild dogs. Hyenas.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
I was
okay,
missing
yeah,
that name.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, they were just hit and miss also. I mean, there's sometimes in the daytime I would see them as opposed to night. I just think it was kind of a cool thing because it was like doing the Jungle Cruise in the dark. It's the same ride, but it's different because it's dark. And they also had that sunset on the safari, which I thought was kind of cool because it looked exactly like it should have. It just really was advertised like wrong. I mean, it seemed like it was going to be something on the entire safari when it was really only in that first curve as you hit the savannah.
Hmm. What were that upside down tree is right around there?
Well, after you pass that. But yeah, as you go down there and then you do that first curve to come back around to where the giraffes are, to the left is where the sunset was. And it looks like any really sunset you've seen in like the distance where it's a half sun orange and you can just kind of see it reflecting through the trees. It was a good effect, but it just seemed kind of odd that it was just only on that part of the safari. But yeah, I mean, for generally, it was great because you know what? It's still the safari and you can go on it at night. So it was a fun ride.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Tree of Life Awakening. What are your thoughts on that?
Everything they've done at Animal Kingdom at night has been great. The Tree of Life is incredible because you know what? You could sit out in front of that thing for an hour and just basically watching for the different types of scenes that come up. The scene lasts probably about 3 or 4 minutes, and it happens every about 10 minutes, I guess. And the animations on the tree are great. Think of the animations they have over at Hollywood Studios and on the castle and things like that, and you have it on the Tree of Life.
Are there two different things that happen there? Are there some just random animations,
between the scenes, because the tree itself is outlined in light. Just like over Hollywood Studios, the Grumman's Chinese Theater is actually an animated like facade over the top of it for the beginning of the show. They do the same thing with the tree. As soon as it gets dark enough, they light the tree up in that it's the natural colors of the tree.
Right. It looks like the tree, but it's not. It's a little sharper because it's animated over the top of the actual tree.
Right. Right. And every so often you'd see like something move real quick and kind of jump around, a fox or something.
But then when I saw it, there was also like the show that lasted maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And there was a whole song and different things come alive. And I think there's actually more than one show. It just depends on which one you get when you happen to be there. But the one I saw, I actually probably enjoyed it more than Rivers of Light.
Oh, yeah, I can believe that. There's about 4 different shows. And like 3 of them seemed like they were themed around the one animal, and then like the 4th show seemed to be themed around Animal Kingdom. Really, really impressive. The other thing really that they did so well at Animal Kingdom at night is the entertainment. You can walk around Animal Kingdom, and there are entertainers playing music almost everywhere, and that really kind of adds to the nighttime appeal of the park.
That's a very good point.
Which is a great thing. And all of that without even mentioning the big addition to Animal Kingdom, Pandora, the World of Avatar, with its multiple attractions, Avatar Flight of Passage and the Nave River Journey, multiple dining locations, gift shops. This changes everything. And from my point of view, was better than I had anticipated.
Oh,
that's
I agree
the
with
best
that.
Way I can say this.
And I tell you what, to me, the best thing I got out of Pandora, I mean, we got a great new ride. That's cool. We got a new land in Animal Kingdom. That's cool, too. But you know what? They did such a great job in Pandora. I'm looking forward to Star Wars Land, and I'm looking forward to Toy Story Land.
That's
Toy
true.
Story
Absolutely.
Land, because you know what? They're going to be incredible, too.
Yep. Absolutely.
What they did to Pandora is just – it's so beautiful. From the details of the lighting, going around, walking around at night, the bioluminescence to the – attractions that are there, to the entertainment that's there, to the food that's there.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see what they do with these two new lands that are opening up at Hollywood Studios as well.
Yep.
I couldn't have said it better. And you know, fast forward, and you know, spoiler for something that happens later in the year, but with Disney's pending acquisition of 21st Century Fox and their television and movie assets, they get James Cameron and the Avatar assets in their package now. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That was a smart business decision.
The other thing I saw in that acquisition that ties to Animal Kingdom, and I'll bring it up now, is Nat Geo, the National Geographic Channel. Which, how well does that fit with Disney Nature, for crying out loud, and Animal Kingdom in general? Wow.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with that down the road.
Also, on the movie side, just brings a lot of Marvel characters back to... back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It absolutely does. That's where things all pulled in.
Very true. And as we're getting toward the end of May and the beginning of June in 2017, Disneyland took advantage of that a little bit early, but we got to see a lot of the Marvel characters over in the Disneyland Park, specifically in the California Adventure Park. We had the Tower of Terror be turned over to the Guardians of the Galaxy, and we had a lot of meet and greets of the superheroes over in the parks. It was pretty incredible.
I love that. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll... I still don't think we'll see that on the East Coast.
Oh, no, and we shouldn't. I think what they did in the West Coast for the Tower of Terror was phenomenal. I think we're going to get some Marvel superheroes. That'll be for sure in Hollywood Studios.
Well, you still can't get all of them, because even though Disney bought... or was in the process of buying 20th Century Fox, it's movie rights. It's still not the theme park rights. So
which is still Universal, which is
Universal
why
still
will stay
has
Universal and Marvel will stay there.
Yeah, all the Marvel characters that Universal theme parks have access to that will not change.
On the east of the Mississippi River.
Correct.
Is the way that that contract was basically written, right?
Correct.
Which
so
is why.
So that's why they can have
on the West Coast.
And cruises.
So that's why I could get an autograph from Spider-Man on the West Coast and I can't get it here.
Correct.
Exactly. And
You can. You got to go to Hollywood Steam and you got to go to Universal, though.
Right.
Yeah, I guess you could do it there. But over in California, especially at DCA, you know, that Tower of Terror and the Guardians of the Galaxy makeover and the amount of attention that's getting and the audiences that it has created, you know, I don't think Marvel lands that far off for California Adventure.
Oh, no, probably not.
And I tell you what, I didn't have a reference really to kind of tell people what the Guardians of the Galaxy Tower of Terror experience was like. See Guardians 2 and the beginning credits. While there's the battle going on in the background with that big monster, and every so often in front of you, everybody, you know, somebody talks to you as it's going on. That's exactly like the ride was. Pretty incredible.
So cool.
I haven't heard anybody complain about it.
No.
No.
As much as I love Tower of Terror, and you know, but I haven't heard anybody. And some people were pretty upset that it was happening, but I think that went away once they wrote it.
Right. Oh, definitely. I mean... what they did with just the video is just amazing. How clear and crystal it was. They were like right in front of you. Very cool. Very good job.
Very quickly became the number one attraction in Disneyland, which is quite impressive, actually.
Sure. Which meant that's the rope drop destination, which meant that the Fast Pass was the big line as opposed to actually getting on the rail line for it.
Which meant people were going there instead of the Radiator Springs Racers.
Sure. You just change it up. We did rope drop right to tower, got on it, went to the racers, and by the time we're done with the racers, the line for Fast Pass for tower was down, and we were able to get on at like 2 o'clock that afternoon again. So just play the game.
And that's exactly what it is. One big game, isn't it?
You gotta go where everybody else isn't going.
Right.
A new DVC opened at Wilderness Lodge, Copper Creek. That opened in late June, early July. They started taking orders for that. DVC continues to expand. I guess that's a good thing. Why not? Copper Creek Villas and Cabins at the Disney Wilderness Lodge.
They're not stopping.
They're not stopping. Absolutely
they're
not.
They're not stopping.
And it's interesting because outside of the Yacht Club... although the Beach Club does have DVC right next door, all of the deluxe resorts now have DVC locations, which is why when I look at that construction we talked about at Caribbean Beach and Coronado Springs, you have to wonder what's next for DVC and if they extend into the moderate locations at some point.
Well, I think they've already announced that.
There you go.
Yeah.
For is that for Caribbean Beach or is that for another spot?
Caribbean,
the Riviera.
Huh?
Yep, the Riviera.
That's right, the Riviera is the top of the Riviera thing. which is the club that's going to be on the top of Caribbean Beach that will overlook Illuminations or whatever that next nighttime show is.
Yep.
Correct.
Don't say
Very
that.
Very nice.
Don't say whatever the next one is. It upsets me.
Well, but I see it no, coming. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. But you
think
know
I was shook up about
50th,
wishes?
It's going to be something.
Wait,
something. Yeah.
Oh God!
Yeah,
they get, okay. When they get rid of Illuminations, I probably won't talk to you guys for a week.
Depends. What's going to get there?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. We got time to speculate about.
And
that
I like that's true. And I always take that path that you know. Let's see what replaces it before we make a decision. But you know,
are they starting that rumor again that it's going away?
That's
like a every 2 years we get that big rumor. It's like Illuminations. You got 2 months to see it. It's going away,
yes.
And it never does.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
That true. Is how Jimmy's gotten me to Epcot on 3 different trips.
It might be the last
gotta
time.
Watch it.
It might be the last time you see it. Well,
come on, we can stop at the Rose and Crown, get a Carl's combo, and watch Illuminations.
Experience talks.
There you go.
And that takes us to July in the D23 Expo 2017 in Orange County, California, at the Orange County Convention Center, right next to Disneyland. I was able to attend, and boy, did we have announcements and announcements and announcements come out of the D23 Expo. We devoted an entire show to it. We talked about it before, but I thought I'd go through some of those real quick, if that's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I tell you what, this is a really cool memory because this was right after our cruise. So we were in Walt Disney World walking around with a bunch of the people off the ship. And it was awesome because we kept getting updates on our phones about the new announcements. Every time there was one of these new announcements Sam's going to talk about, it would show up on our phone. And we'd start freaking out about it and figuring out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Pretty good stuff.
Absolutely. We'll go park by park. That might be the easiest way. Over at Hollywood Studios, we know for sure that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is the name of the new Star Wars-themed land, still scheduled to open in 2019, whatever that means. But we have a name for Galaxy's Edge. We saw an entire model, absolutely amazing amount of information about Galaxy's Edge. It just wants us to get there that much more. Galaxy's Edge. What do you say? I mean,
bring it on.
Exactly.
I think if what they did in Pandora is any indication, which we got to remember that what we're seeing now at Pandora is technology from what 3 years ago they started it. So if that's any indication of what if they can plus what Pandora is to make Star Wars. It's going to be just ridiculous. It's going to be out of this world.
Sure. The biggest part of the announcement for Star Wars that really got my attention was they said they're going to be using the Magic Band technology exclusively throughout the land, meaning if you did great in the Millennium Falcon ride and you were shooting down fighters, they're going to remember that, and they're going to call you an ace. If you didn't do that great, they might start looking – they might have some jokes on, I guess they might have a script of jokes they'll use for if you didn't do too well, perhaps. And as you walk around, they're going to know about it. So I think that's going to be the interesting part.
Hmm.
Definitely. So the thing that caught me, Galaxy's Edge, the other part that we knew Star Wars Land was coming. We knew there was going to be an announcement. But then they dropped the bomb that an immersive Star Wars theme hotel is going to be headed to Walt Disney World, a hotel that will be the most immersive ever. And the concepts and things that they're talking about sound absolutely amazing. That, to me, was one of the biggest parts of the expo itself, is a Star Wars themed hotel in the works for Walt Disney World.
And this was the... Yeah, this experience, I am incredibly intrigued to see how this is going to get executed. I'm fascinated by the fact that it's going to be a full immersive experience, yet you're going to be able to leave that full immersive experience and go ride, you know, Space Mountain. Go ride.
Well, it can only be so immersive at the hotel, though, because what happens when you walk out of the door into the hallway, or when you know, it's got to still be hotel-like, but
Yeah, it's probably going to be themed like the pirate rooms over at the one hotel, or the Little Mermaid rooms at the other one.
And Les said you can pull some of the technology that they're using on the cruise ships, where the pictures come to life. And we're also talking
about the porthole windows and stuff like that. Sure, sure.
Yeah, we don't know where it's going to be located.
I don't know that Disney does.
As far as we know, at this, yes. As far as we know, you're going to leave your room and walk out of your Star Wars hotel and enter directly into Star Wars land.
Yep,
and that's and what I would imagine. Yep, that's what they're going to do.
Was that announced
this is speculation.
Sure, that makes sense.
You come back to your rooms.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa.
I really think that it's already hidden back there. I wouldn't doubt the fact that if you look at a footprint map of behind Hollywood Studios, they've already mapped it out so that there's an entrance right into. There'll be a back entrance, much like there is at DCA with the Grand Californian.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yep.
And I could just see you walk back to your room from being in Galaxy's Edge all day, and when you get there, that portal from the cruise ships is now your window, and a ship flies by, and somebody rendezvous with you and tells you something that you have to do the next day, and it could be amazing.
Or else your transportation takes you back to the hotel. That's your shuttle. And it docks at your hotel, and you get off, and you go into the station.
That could work, too. The technology here, just amazing. All right, continuing through Hollywood Studios, we learned two things in one announcement, and it was kind of interesting because we learned, number one, that Mickey Mouse was going to be getting his first attraction, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad, at Hollywood Studios. But we also learned that that meant the Great Movie Ride was going to be closing. So where do we start here? A Great Movie Ride?
Boy, did that happen quick.
It did.
What was the other ride that was closing at Epcot? Let's talk about both now.
We'll talk about both now because, yes, Ellen's Energy Adventure over at Epcot is going to be closing and will be replaced by a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. And in both cases, by the way, to put the timeline in perspective, this was announced in July at the D23 Expo, and August 13th was the last day of operation for both.
And who would have thought? That's not Disney timeline. That's quick.
That's very fast. That's basically 5 weeks from the announcement to the closing of both of these attractions.
Sure. And usually you get an announcement like that, that's a standard like 6 months worth of like, hey, it's going away.
And buy your T-shirts kind of a thing.
Right. But no, they got rid of them very quickly.
I have...
For as popular as those two rides were, too. And don't tell me Ellen's wasn't popular. Always a crowd. I'm not really a crowd, but there was people going on it.
I didn't hate Ellen's. I think the biggest thing that was wrong with that attraction... And look, when it opened, it was great. But the biggest thing that was wrong with that attraction was just the investment of time.
Yeah.
45
minutes.
Yeah.
Once you're on it.
Yeah.
They made sure they pushed that. Yeah. How many people got pissed off? I missed the fireworks. Crap.
But,
I'm sorry, just real quick. They ended up closing the ride at 7 o'clock because of that, where Ellen's would close at 7 at night so that nobody could miss Illuminations.
You caught that last ride, you still got out in time, unless it broke down.
Which did on its last ride, by the way.
Anyway. Sure.
I've got two beefs with the Mickey coaster. One, I loved the Great Movie Ride. I mean, it was truly something we did multiple times on every trip. I really enjoyed the Great Movie Ride. And I am just not a fan of that Mickey Mouse that they use.
The new animation.
Yeah, the new animation.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here's my problem with the Great Movie Ride leaving was that they never actually gave it a good shot to upgrade it.
Yeah.
You know, there was probably like 3 or 4 scenes you could have upgraded to something relatively recent.
Probably easily,
and
right?
Would have given it a lot more legs.
Yeah. Tarzan.
I mean, Tarzan definitely could have come out.
How many kids?
One of the Wizard
today?
Of Oz rooms could have come out. Like, there's just
your
aliens
kids,
could have come out.
Your kids and so my much. Kids and Sam's kids and you know, my kids are... me and your kids, our kids are the same age, but Lisa's kids are a little bit younger. But even our kids that are a little bit older, they don't have any idea about, you know, that Tarzan. That there was no connection. There was barely a connection to Alien.
Right. And there are some movies that are classic you have to have. Singing in the Rain, even the Follies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Humphrey Bogart, this is how we got through the movies, the gangster movies and such.
Yeah.
Tarzan, though, I don't think that one's that remained as much. I mean, I saw those Tarzan movies when I was a kid. I remember them, seeing them on TV and stuff like
that. But they're not as iconic as those other. Because they're not. You know, the thing is that the Footlight Parade and Singing in the Rain and then the mobster and then the westerns, that covered almost whole genres and not just one movie, as opposed to Tarzan. That wasn't a genre movie. It was just a specific movie.
Yeah, good point. The jungle genre wasn't that big then.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, no, good point. And like I said, I'm looking forward to the new attraction. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, first rate. But I really would have liked them to give it a shot doing the upgrade there.
Yeah. Seemed like they threw a Band-Aid on it toward the end. And
not even. What did they do? They didn't do much.
They had Robert Osborne do the...
Yeah, Robert Osborne, yep. Yeah.
And the pre-show was incredible. The newer pre-show I thought was awesome because you actually got to see 10 to 15 minutes of a certain topic as opposed to randomly like switching as fast as it used to.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
Yep.
But we got to enjoy that for 6 months and it was gone.
Yep. So this marked the closing of the last opening day attraction at Hollywood Studios, or should I say the last opening day attraction from Disney's MGM Studios. And I think this just, you know, signified the turning of the leaf, and this is now a new park, and this is going to emerge as something brand new when it's all said and done. And we see that with the announcement that this year, 2018, Toy Story's Land will indeed be opening summer of 2018. So we turned right around with some new stuff, and that's going to be great.
I've heard possibly Memorial Day.
They're still saying summer, but I'd love to see soft openings by then, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, Memorial Day is kind of the opening of summer, right?
Right. Pandora is the big – every summer they do this big push, and they love to get the commercials out there and get people to come down for summertime. And you know Toy Story Land will be the reason why you want to visit Walt Disney World in 2018. One of many reasons.
It's going to be nuts there when it first opens.
Yes.
I mean, Pandora was nuts, and think about how much more of a connection to Disney Toy Story has.
Sure, the Slink Dog coaster looks awesome.
Yeah, it does look good. It looks long, too.
There's not a kid that does not see the Slink Dog coaster and not want to go on that.
I agree.
That's just incredible, and it will be, and I can't wait for it. Let's move on to Epcot. Epcot celebrated its 35th anniversary, but that doesn't happen until October. But back at the D23 Expo, we learned, as previously mentioned, the Guardians of the Galaxy will be coming to Epcot, and specifically coming to the location that was formerly Ellen's Energy Adventure. Interesting that they're going to tie some of the characters into Epcot in the 80s. We'll see how this goes for them, but hopefully this works out well. A new attraction in Future World, a new quote-unquote thrilling attraction in Future World, but we don't know what it is exactly just yet. We have used to be Ellen's Energy Adventure will basically be the queue, the loading platform, the unload platform, and a gift shop. And the entire attraction will be outside.
Behind it.
Behind Epcot in the grassy area next to the parking lot. That's where this thing's going.
So this year, just so you know, Sam, just going back just 2 minutes ago, I said maybe Memorial Day week, which is May 26th through June 2nd.
Okay.
Pandora opened May 27th.
There you go.
So it opened Memorial Day week.
But just in time for the beginning of summer launch.
Yeah, I think so. So hopefully, I'll keep my fingers crossed because we're planning on being there Memorial Day.
Yep. That'll be good.
It'll be
Ratatouille?
Nuts.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Ratatouille is coming to the France Pavilion at Epcot's World Showcase. This is a great addition. We talked about this before. And in fact, there is a blog at thedisneynerdspodcast.com where we got some Google Earth images and got some concept art and permit filings and meshed those together to show exactly where this sucker's going to be. It's pretty darn big.
We were able to experience the attraction from Disneyland on episode 213 of the Disney Nerds podcast.
That being Disneyland Paris.
Disneyland Paris.
That's Disneyland Paris. Correct. Thank you. And those attraction vehicles look so cool.
Yep. It looks like they use the, what's the Luigi ride in Disneyland, Sam?
Oh,
The tire thing?
The cars.
The cars?
The Casa de Tires.
That's the ones that they just move and they kind of dance. It looks like it uses a similar technology to that, because there's no track and they move very, they each move differently, independent of each other. So there's got to be some type of grid or something that keeps them. So I love this. I love it.
Regardless, this is awesome. I can't wait to see this Ratatouille attraction. I can't wait for another thing inside World Showcase that the kids want to do. And I think this is that whole, we want Epcot to be more family, more friendly. This fits right in there, and it's a great addition. Well, and it will be fun to see Remy and Ratatouille in France without impacting anything else.
Earlier, so yeah,
everything else stays.
It's a net gain. Earlier, we talked about Guardians of the Galaxy attraction in Disneyland being the number one attraction in Disneyland now. Well, the Ratatouille ride's the number one attraction in Disneyland Paris. So
there you go.
That's great that you're taking the number one attraction from another park and bringing it home to us.
Yep.
No doubt. Now, guys, if you have a chance, go check out the Disney Nerds podcast blog. Sam just put up an article there that kind of outlines where Ratatouille is going to be and how the construction is going to be going, and it's a pretty cool article.
It was pretty cool. I did some Photoshop playing there, so I had some fun with that. Anyway,
there you go.
Moving on, the China Pavilion is getting a new movie. This will be the first seamless 360-degree circle vision show. I'm interested in that, and it gives me a reason to go and watch the China movie again, so I'll be in there for that. You guys good? Thumbs up?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to see the new movie. I love the old movie, you know.
I love the poet.
I remember the old movie.
I love the poet.
Sure.
It's a reason to go see it.
Yep, and we did it. We did it in a show way back when. I think we did Sounds from the Park. So go back.
Nice. Go back and listen. I'll have to find that one.
Yep.
Another thing we learned that was announced and already happened is that Mission Space would be getting an update, a brand new green mission, and which was basically a tour around the Earth for younger riders. And the orange mission got upgrades in its digital format and the way that it looks and feels.
New host.
A new host as well. That's right. I did the green mission. My family loved the green mission. No problem. I seen... This is a great change to Mission Space.
Me and Ed did the green mission together. I haven't experienced the orange mission yet, the new one, which I'd love to do. But since the green one was brand new, me and Ed decided to go do that one together. And I thought it was pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also learned that a new restaurant is coming to Epcot, adjacent to Mission Space. A new table service restaurant will invite guests to travel high above the Earth for an unforgettable dining experience. This sounds kind of cool. I'm intrigued.
I like the idea. I just don't know that Epcot... I guess Future World could use another table service, but I feel
I'm
like...
I'm with you, Jimmy.
I feel
That's
like
the
all the good dining is already at Epcot. Like,
it is. Does Epcot really need another restaurant? Maybe this should be in Tomorrowland somewhere.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I think this is more of a wow factor restaurant, kind of like Beneath the Sea, or, you know, the what's the restaurant under over by the Living with the Sea?
Oh, Coral Reef.
Where it's like a cool kind of future worldish type thing. Did they tell you where the footprint's going to be for it? Like, where are they building this?
No, we don't know that yet. I don't think.
Because looking at Mission Space, does that mean finally the Life Pavilion's going away?
I think it's going to be tween the Mission Space and the Life Pavilion, sort of behind there. If you look at Google Earth, Mission Space is really mostly front end facade, and the building isn't all that big behind it. And there's a lot of room back there.
Gotcha.
Assuming this is new construction.
The way that thing operates is not that it doesn't require a whole. It doesn't have a track. It's got a bunch of pods that spin in a circle. So Mission Space doesn't require a whole lot of.
It just has all the walking hallways around it.
When you walk up to it, it looks huge because of that facade. But it's mostly just the facade. There's not much behind it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Good point.
which is, yeah, it is what it is. So lots of changes coming to Epcot. That's all good. Over at the Magic Kingdom, a Tron-themed attraction is coming to Tomorrowland. This is the Tron Light Cycle Coaster that's currently in Shanghai Disneyland. And this is going to be cool.
We covered that as well on episode 213, where we watched me, Ed, and Lisa watched a YouTube video of that and the Ratatouille ride, and kind of talked through it as somebody did it in Shanghai. And again, I mentioned earlier about Ratatouille being the number one attraction in Disneyland Paris. The Tron attraction is the number one attraction in Shanghai. It's like 2005 all over again.
They're yeah, bringing all the best, best all the
attractions
other
from other parks and bringing them to Walt Disney World.
And that was all for Disneyland's 50th, and now they're doing it again for Disney World's 50th. I love it.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. What I like most about this is, and we had speculated before on the show, nothing is going away. This is net new addition to the Magic Kingdom.
Love it. Love net. It's
net new. They're not taking away the Speedway. They're not taking away anything else. This goes behind the train track, behind Space Mountain. And it'll be kind of cool to zip around back there.
That was a big rumor in the beginning that they were going to get rid of the Tomorrowland Speedway and put this there.
Right. And I think, if anything, Magic Kingdom is more capacity, not less, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Trade off of capacity. Ed, you're waiting in line for this, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The interesting thing is, though, it's so close to Space Mountain. You got Space Mountain and the Tron Coaster right there next to each other. Which is no big deal.
Well, it's going to depend on how they build it and where the coaster comes out of the building itself. And it might be the type of thing where you really don't see it at Space Mountain or close to it. It really is going to depend on how they set that up over there. But I do see those cycles going through Tomorrowland, kind of like they did in Shanghai, though. I do see that happening. So it should be interesting.
I liked it. It was cool because they come out of the building, but they're still covered. So it's still... they're like underneath like this big glass atrium, but it's outside over the lines. But weather shouldn't, it should be where weather doesn't affect them.
Which gives it sort of, and there's some concept art we saw there too. It gives it sort of a slick, sort of curved look next to the round, iconic shape of Space Mountain, which is kind of neat the way that it folds in there.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that one.
How can you not be?
I wasn't, look, I like any net gain. I wasn't as excited about the Ratatouille ride. I was glad to have something like that. But then when we did episode 213 and we watched it, I was like, yeah, that's pretty freaking cool, too.
That's cool. Yeah. Nice.
Now, if they could only do in Epcot what they do in Disneyland Paris, and that is a restaurant when you get off that ride, there's a restaurant right there.
Yeah, one of the back to the Ratatouille ride, one of the things that I speculated in that blog is where the exit to this thing is going to be. They made it kind of clear where the entrance is, but where's the exit? And I'll tell you another thing that I found looking at those plans, and this was interesting. For Ratatouille, there's a big restroom that they're building back behind it, which France desperately needs, by the way, because right now they have those two single stall toilets that are the French versions that are horrible. So if you get rid of those, that may be where the ride exits, back into the bakery area. But the other interesting part is those plans came from the water authority, them filing permits, which is the same reason we got the plans for Norway, because of the water table impacts of putting in the new restroom.
Interesting.
So we found the plans because of the plumbing requirements for the restrooms.
Very,
which is kind of neat.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right. Also at Magic Kingdom, the new theater coming to the Magic Kingdom Park. And we have confirmed the location of this. This is going on that walkway between the front hub or town square and sort of Tomorrowland, that back way where they've been exiting people through. This theater is going to wind up back there in what now is a parking lot.
You know, what's really interesting about that, and when we were there in November for the Disney Nerds podcast meetups, me and Lisa watched Happily Ever After together.
Yep.
And they send you back there as a backfill. Like once the hub and all is full, that's they have additional viewing area down that pathway.
It's not the, they let you view from back there. Interesting.
It's not the greatest, yeah, but it was a decent. I think it was a decent view, huh, Lisa?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was taped off in a way that if you stand in the taped off area, you can have a pretty decent view of the castle.
Wow. I've never seen that before. That area is getting used more and more, that's for sure. And it's about to be a big construction zone.
Well, I think the other part of that is once Happily Ever After is, you know, this was 2 hours probably before it started. The hub, well, certainly an hour before it started, the hub and Main Street is full. So they also still continue. They tape off an area over to the right for viewing, but then also leave it open as a walk, like as a cutoff to walk people out. So they're not trying to cut across the hub to get to Main Street.
Right. And that's how I've experienced it before, where you're watching whatever the fireworks show is. And when it's over, that's your fastest way to get out of the park versus going down Main Street.
Well, when you walked down there, there was about a 4-foot section over if you were walking out on the right hand side along the building that was set up for additional viewing.
Got it. I completely understand. The one thing I noticed walking out of there last time was it's the back of those buildings on Main Street are now themed. They used to just be back of house, back, you know, it was just the back of the buildings, but now they're brick. There's posters on them. They're not.
Well, they look pretty now.
Yeah. They look nice. They're
doesn't look like you
take
back
a
house,
picture in front of it and it'd be okay. That kind of
thing.
Well,
for the past 2-3 years, they've been using that as the emergency exit. So they finally made it look nice. And by the way, that's the place they took us, the end of the Keys to the Kingdom tour, and show us where they had, and that's where Tinkerbell was landing on the mattresses, where the end of the cable ended. Back there. And that was always pretty cool to see. And it was parking lot. It was like cars just hanging out in the back there. You could tell that's where managers and supervisors would come by and stop and then check out stuff.
That's some serious technology there, huh?
Yeah. Some circus mattress.
Some mattresses for Tinkerbell to land on.
Those managers and supervisors need to find another place to park now. They're not going to be parking back there much longer.
Now there'll be a theater, a big theater there.
Yeah, exactly. Big theater in the parking lot. No longer place to go. I'm curious as to what we're going to be watching in that theater. It's cool that it's there, but what's this going to be? Is this live show? Is this a theater? Is this an animatronic thing? Nobody's really told us what's in it, just that there's a big building going up back there.
It sounds like a people eater, and I like people eaters.
Especially in Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
There's no place that needs it more. No place that needs it more. And Jimmy, moving on here, you were absolutely right. The 15th Disney Vacation Club was announced, and that's the Disney Riviera Resort, which is indeed part of or next to the Caribbean. We don't know if it's attached to it or not. But it will offer unbelievable views of nighttime spectaculars at Epcot and Hollywood Studios. You're being 15 stories up across the street from World Showcase, that's going to be pretty cool, isn't it?
It's going to be an amazing view.
I can't even imagine what that view would be like.
What I would like to see them do is keep this as DVC, but almost a moderate DVC, if that makes sense. Because all the DVC resorts are basically deluxe accommodations.
Yes.
If they could do this, and it's still, I mean, you got to... I get that it's going to have a great view, but it also is not, you know, it's still not the same perk as staying at one of the Magic Kingdom DVC resorts or an Epcot DVC resort for the proximity to the park. So I wouldn't mind seeing them do a little bit smaller room, maybe a little less amenities than the current DVC, than like a Bay Lake Tower, and price this out less than what the current ones they're doing. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I think the supply and demand, they don't need to do that to sell it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I guess it just depends on what they're so they have quickly. Sold out. Yeah, you're right.
That they don't need to do that. And they can get away with building three-bedroom suites and two-bedroom suites and the one-bedroom and in this tower as part of it, but not necessarily the whole tower.
But, I mean, if you just bought Copper Creek at $150 a point or whatever it is now from Disney, how do you swallow buying, you know, something next to Caribbean for the same thing? It's just – it's and they may do it. I'm not saying it won't. I'm not saying it won't happen, but it'd be, you know, if you just bought Bay Lake Tower for that – and now you're going to buy over at next to Caribbean for that? I mean, and I'm not knocking what they're building, but it's not going to have the same proximity that Bay Lake Tower does.
I don't think they're able to drop the point, the price value on the point. I don't think they'll be able to do that, but they might be able to drop the point value per night.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. So that makes sense. Yeah. Because you're right. So, So the price per point stays the same, but the points per night are less. So if you're at that home resort, you don't have to buy as if that's your home resort, you don't have to buy as many points if that's where you're planning on staying.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because if I want to book,
because you can still use like points elsewhere.
Magic Kingdom view, it's 57 points a night. But if I go over to Boardwalk, it's 30-some points a night. And if I go over to Saratoga Spring, it's 20-some points a night.
Right.
So that's how they do it. But the price per point's the same.
Price per point's the same. That's right.
And that could make sense. But that also ties into some of the transportation announcements that we heard at D23. And there were two of them. One of those being the Disney Skyliner, which is going to directly impact Caribbean Beach and Art of Animation and Pop Century and tie those into Epcot and Hollywood Studios through a gondola system that's going to look pretty cool. And we finally saw some concept art, and the Skyliner is going to be an interesting way to get around Walt Disney.
We've even seen at the theme park, what is it, the big theme park convention that happens in Orlando, I forgot the name of it, but there were some gondola vehicles. And we don't know that these are exactly what Disney's going to use, but it's from the same company that's building them for Disney.
So, very cool. Now, before we go any further, too, I want to point out, we just posted on Tuesday on the Disney Nerds podcast blog, the Disney Hollywood Studios update. And outside of Hollywood Studios, at the entrance, they have some really, really cool new artwork of the gondolas. They have the loading platforms and what it's going to look like. Mm. It almost reminds me of the overhead rides they used to have in Magic Kingdom, actually.
It does. It looks a lot like it.
It does. So I suggest going over, check out those pictures, because it definitely fills in a lot of the holes that we've had about this project since they announced it.
Yeah, that was the first time that I saw concept art of the loading dock at Hollywood Studios, like exactly where it is and where the front door is. And you're like going, oh, okay, now it's starting to make sense.
I hadn't seen that.
Because the biggest part of Jolly Hollywood's weekly photo report.
That's right. And because the biggest question I had about the gondolas was timeliness of loading them. Because when you put people onto these things, it does take a little while for some people to get in and out of these type of vehicles. Based on that, everybody behind them gets stuck. It's all in one line, so you'd have to stop the line itself. I'm curious to see how it's going to run.
People mover?
Well, that's what I'm saying, but you got to stop it every so often. People mover is an attraction inside a park. It's not a transportation method.
Right, but if it makes a big, long, you know, People Mover, Spaceship Earth makes a big, long turn around with a moving walkway where you can exit out to the moving, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, I was trying to get to the point that I'm debating or I'm wondering if they have new technology that's going to avoid that.
Oh, maybe
perhaps
so.
The loading line is a separate track that then feeds into the main line. So it never stops. I'm just saying they have to keep thinking of that type of stuff, especially with the gondola.
The pictures gave us a look at what it's going to look like, but I still want to see how someone pushing a wheelchair up is going to get on and off this thing.
My biggest concern is they've already stated that there's no AC.
Oh, that's not good. Well, this is Florida, right? It's open windows?
Yeah.
It's going to rain.
It's going to be hot as hell.
Right.
And actually, I figured out the loop. Think of Toy Story Mania. They have their extra loop for the people with issues. And they just put them on the extra loop, and then they put them into the ride.
Yeah.
That would make most sense, and I hope they can do that. That would be perfect. Because now you can let somebody take their time, whatever they need to do to get in, while others are getting off and going.
And
I mean, families
some people
with strollers and such like that. It takes time to get everything all set and ready to go.
And some people won't be getting off, right? Some people are going to be continuing on to the next destination.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Which makes it interesting, right? Because you're... Yeah, we'll see how it... I don't know if there's going to be switch stations.
Well, I was about to say, I don't know if there's going to be different lines or, different lines, or it's just one line that makes one continuous loop. I don't know.
Something to look forward to.
More questions to look forward to. So the Skyliner is on the way. We know that's happening.
I think it's great. Again, that net add.
Net add, exactly.
Not losing anything.
Yep. Another thing that we learned about, transportation related, were the new mini vans. Mini as in Minnie Mouse and mini as in a minivan. That were essentially a ride-sharing type of a concept where guests could use an app. The app happened to look a lot like Lyft, where they could request a van and still can request a van that can take them anywhere on property. One of the cool things I like about minivans is where they drop you off and pick you up. They can get places that other cars just can't get to, which is really cool.
For sure.
True. I didn't see many down there. Did you guys?
I saw a couple. Not a ton, but I saw a couple.
I think you see them more at the deluxe resorts than you do anywhere else.
Well, they're not available property-wide yet, are they?
So far, so you have to get a special link to download the app that supports the minivans. And you can get those from the deluxe resorts, like Lisa mentioned.
There you go.
Contemporary, Yacht Club, Beach Club, Boardwalk. I've seen quite a few of them in that Epcot Resorts area. That's where I've seen most of them. Zipping around there. It's interesting to see. It's an interesting concept. It's a flat rate.
$20.
To anywhere you want to go. It's big enough to support families. They have car seats in them if you need a car seat. It really becomes that time versus money question. And is it worth the $20 to get you directly to where you want to go faster, more conveniently, less of a walk, and not hassling with other types of transportation? And some people think it's great, and I see it being used quite a bit. Another interesting thing that I learned while I attended the Disney Data and Analytics Conference, this Lyft version of the minivan service is really a stopgap measure. While Disney is embedding this concept into the My Disney Experience app, and ultimately their goal is to know where you are in the park, know where your next reservation is. So, for example, if you happen to be in Magic Kingdom and you have a reservation someplace in Epcot, or vice versa, the app will tell you a few hours ahead of time, hey, your reservation's coming up. Do you want to keep it? We'll send the car to pick you up proactively. You can meet it here. Would you like to, yes or no, or do you want to cancel your reservation? Sort of an interesting concept and where they want to get to. There's some technology challenges behind that, but that's Disney's goal when it comes to these ride-sharing services and the minivan in general.
Well, I think just the whole app that's connected to FastPass and just the complete integration, they can gauge staffing. They could just do so much with it. It just helps them be more efficient.
Absolutely, efficiencies are key.
Yep.
Has anyone? I've not used a minivan. I've used Uber on site many times, but I've seen them drop people off where the buses drop people off at Magic Kingdom and thought, I really want to do that sometime, but I never had the opportunity.
I want to do it. I haven't done it. I would like to do it. And look, I still think it's not a great value when you can, because it's about double what Uber is. But I would still like to do it just once, just to say I did it.
Yeah. Well, for one person, too. But if you need to get an Uber XL or you need to get a bigger one, then the price isn't
If you
that
go to
far.
Uber XL, you're probably just better off just getting the minivan.
Right. So if you have five people or whatever the case is.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Very quickly to California Adventure. We learned the Pixar Fest is coming in 2018. That is a limited time Pixar celebration happening at Disneyland Resort. Sounds pretty interesting. It includes new fireworks, additions to the Pixar Play Parade, and the return of the Paint the Night Parade to California Adventure, which is sort of interesting. Love that. And in that same Pixar theme Paradise Pier at Disney's California Adventure is being rethemed to Pixar Pier, where we are going to see new theming to all of the attractions all the way around the pier. And in fact, one of those, California Screamin', is the big roller coaster that goes around Pixar Pier. That is going to be the Incredicoaster for The Incredibles, and they will be launching that just in time for The Incredibles 2 this summer.
I did not know that until you just said it.
There you go, The Incredicoaster. There's some concept art for that that was part of the 12 Days of Disney Parks announcements, which we can get to later. So July's a huge month for Disney news, D23 Expo. I mean, what are your thoughts coming out of the Expo? I just throw my hands on my head and go, wow, this is amazing. What a great time to be a fan, right?
I think this all started, maybe it's just since I've been such a fan, but I mean, ever since New Fantasyland was announced, it seems like, man, they just keep going back and just reinvesting and doing cool things.
Well, I mean, even before that, Monsters Incorporated, I remember that original announcement and, you know, all those different things. Toy Story Mania, I remember that original announcement.
Yeah.
And before that came out and when it was predicted and how it was going to be and
I
stuff.
Mean, progression. New Fantasyland was a giant expansion, not just an attraction though, right?
Well, true, but think how big the attraction Toy Story Mania became for like 3 or 4 years, 5 years.
I agree.
Was like the main attraction of three parks.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, you never know.
I like to see them keep going back and investing the money and keeping it fresh. And, you know, as Disney fans and people who go a lot, I get questioned all the time, like, you're going back? And I'm like, you don't have any idea. Like, you just don't know. Like, every time we go, we do something different. It's never the same trip.
Right. And you are kind of accurate as far as in the last 3 years, the announcements coming out are for new lands, not really new attractions, but new lands that have attractions, restaurants, stores. So yeah, I think it is a little special, what we're going through right now, but yeah, again, it is what it is. It's the expansion.
And with the D23 Expo a little more than halfway through the year, we are definitely over on time for this week's show. I think we should wrap this up and keep talking on the next show about the rest of the year.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds great.
Absolutely.
So, guys, remember, thedisneynerdspodcast.com, Facebook, Disney Nerds. You can get each of us at Sam, Ed, Jimmy, Lisa at thedisneynerdpodcast.com, questions at thedisneynerdpodcast.com, all that good stuff. We will see you next week. Kongaloosh.
Guaharini.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Rest in peace.